Thank you for joining us at the Sister Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Amen. Praise Jesus. All right, so let's go into the word this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1.
Deuteronomy chapter 1.
Deuteronomy chapter 1. Hallelujah. You guys, you have these verses rolling in your spirits by now. So we're going to deal further with it. The balance of our time. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to start reading from verse 6. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance to the hill country of the Amorite. Go to all the neighboring peoples of the Araba, in the mountains, the western foothills, in the Negev, along the coast to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon as far as the great river, the Euphrates." Everybody, let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, let's go. Everyone, 1, 2, go. Oh, you guys don't have Bibles. It's modern day Christianity now. We don't carry Bibles anymore. Where's your Bible? Open your Bibles. Alright, 1, 2, let's go. I can hear some people doing blah, 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 blah. Are you sure you're reading your Bible? You're just blah, 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 blah. Let's go. Wait, let's start all over again because I want everybody to do it. 1, 2, let's go. No. Alright, let me give you 2 minutes or 1 second or whatever. Open your Bibles and let's read it. It doesn't matter whether it's electronics or just open it. 1, 2, let's go. Verse 8. "See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession. Swear to give you, father, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to descendants after them." Amen. Everybody say, "See, I have given you this land. Go in, therefore, and take possession." Everybody say, "Go in, therefore, and take possession." Say it again. Say, "Go in, therefore, and take possession." All right. So for some weeks right now, maybe about 4 weeks, we've been meditating on these verses, going through them, and we've covered quite a lot. And you know, the messages are available, audio, video, you can watch them. So we're going to be moving further today. So today I want to speak to you about the dynamics of possession. Right now, the dynamics of what? Of possession. The dynamics of possession. We have learned that God has given us the land, and we know what the land is. The land is our place of purpose, your place of purpose, the place of shalom. Everybody say, place of shalom. The place of peace, where nothing is missing, nothing is broken. It's the place of destiny. And we also say that it also has the physical component. We've gone through all this, the physical component, real land, properties, and all that. We also say that it has a people component. God has called us to be disciples. Jesus gave us the commission to disciple all nations. So part of the land God has given us is people being discipled for His glory, for His kingdom. Amen. Everybody say, God has given me my place in purpose, my zone. That place where I'm ultimately fulfilled and I'm carrying out what God sent me to earth to do. Say, God has given me physical land. Say, it's a physical land and properties, material things that I will use to fulfill that purpose. And God has given me people. Say, people that I will win, that I can present to Him as the fruit of the land, the purpose, the physical things that He has given to me. See, God has given me systems. Systems that are existing and systems that need to exist that I can use to advance God's purpose for my life and so advance the kingdom of God on earth. See, God has given them to me. There is a season where things are up for grabs. That's the anointing that is upon the church. See, that's the anointing that is upon the church for this season. Some things are up for grabs in the spirit, in the physical. Now go grab yours for His purpose and for His name. So the grabbing of it, that's fine. The grabbing of it is what is called taking possession. Amen. Someone say taking possession. Taking possession. So, the dynamics of possession. Number one, what does it mean to take possession? To take possession means to occupy something that has already been given to you, that is already yours by ownership. To take possession means to occupy something that is already yours, that is, you are the owner. I think I went through it. I said, having ownership is different from having possession, right? For example, the landlord, you know, if you're renting, you know, if you have a house, you're renting it out, you have ownership of that house, but you don't have possession of it, right? If you want to take possession of it, then you have to legally either or talk with the tenant, okay, let's end the lease, I want to take possession, or legally evict, you know what I'm talking about? That's taking possession. So possession is different from ownership. Possession is different from ownership. Possession is different from what? From ownership. I want you guys to get that. Let it, you know, just done on you. Possession is different from ownership. Now, according to the Bible, the New Testament, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has already obtained some things for us, and He has already given them to us. In fact, the Bible says everything that pertains to life and godliness, God has already given to us. So we have ownership. Somebody say, I have ownership. For example, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. So in Christ, we have been blessed. In Christ, we own some things. We're entitled. Ownership speaks of entitlement. We own some things by inheritance through the covenant that we have with God. We own health. Healing is the children's bread. Amen. We own health. We own it. It's ours. It's ours. But it doesn't mean that we have possession of it. Amen. Do you understand? We own it. You own a fulfilled life. In your place of purpose, you own direction, you own clarity, you own provisions, divine supplies. You own it. It's yours. Christ died for it. Christ died for it. Amen. He died so that we can have it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, you know, the Bible says that we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, for though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor. So that you, through His poverty, might be richly supplied, might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For though He was rich, yet for your sakes, everybody say for my sakes, He became poor. So that you, through His poverty, might be what? might become rich. In other words, Jesus Christ had so much, but he came down to earth, and compared to what he had in heaven, he made himself poor. He walked around amongst us. He did everything compared to what he had. He had resources to do everything there to do on the earth, but he made himself in comparison. For example, a good illustration that, you know, I had somebody use when I was in Rwanda was this. It was a preacher, one of, you know, the preachers that we preached together. He came from Barbados. So he said, when he was explaining this verse, he said, you guys, he said, when I was in Barbados, he said, I have houses there, I have businesses there, I have this church, you know, that I'm pastoring. He said, in my wardrobe, I have lots of suits and things that I could. But I came to Rwanda and I came with like two or three suits. Do you get what I'm saying? And a few shoes. Right? So he says, now back at home, I am rich. Do you get it? But in Rwanda, I am what? Do you get that? In Rwanda, I'm what? Relatively poor compared to what I have in Barbados. Right? So that you, through my what? Oh, come on. You guys are not following me. Through my what? Poverty. My temporary poverty. You can be what? Do you get it? Do you understand it? So it's not like Jesus Christ was poor in that, you know. He left those things. The Bible says he left his glory and all that. And he came to the earth to die, to be amongst us. But the reason why he did it was because he wanted a grace. He wanted to show us that there is grace for us. And that grace is grace that allows us to be able to be abundantly supplied. Hallelujah. From his own poverty. You know, that was because he came down. Now we can have access to what he had access to. Amen. In heaven. So he came to make those riches of heaven available to us. Do you get that? And it covers every area of life. When he said that you might become rich, you know, people want to exclude money from it. Money is included. Someone say money is included. Because the whole context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 was talking about money there. Amen. So money is included. But also some people want to make it just about money. So it's always good to stay in the middle of the road so that you don't go into extreme. Some want to make it all about money. No, it's not just all about money. It's also talking about every aspect of life. Because you can have money, and if you don't have health, what happens? Say health is what? It's wealth. If you have money and your kids are on drugs, is that great? If you have a lot of money and you can't have any peace, you can't lie down, you know, because you're afraid somebody's going to steal it, or people are chasing you, or the FBI is looking for you, or, you know. is that wealth? No, that's not wealth. So it is the word rich in this place speaks of being abundantly supplied. Everybody say being abundantly supplied with everything. Say with everything that I need for my purpose. Did you get it? Do you understand? So if your purpose requires you to have $1 million or $10 million, then the supply is available. Do you get it? If it requires you to have $10 billion or $20 billion, then it is available. Amen. You know, I'm going to spend some time later. I've been sharing with Anko and some other people to teach about this further, you know, about this issue of the heavenly account and how to access the heavenly account. You see, the heavenly account, one of the first things, if you go to any bank and you want to access money from every bank, one of the first things they're going to ask you is, what do you want to do with it? Isn't that true? Is that not true? They say, what do you want to do, right? With it. So you say, okay, I want to buy this house. Okay, what's the house going to be used for? You want to live in there, or you want to buy this property, or is it commercial? Is it there? Okay, so then the bank looks at it and try to see. They have a mix of things that they fund. Some banks fund commercial things. Some banks just fund, you know, some kind of thing. So they look at it and say, does it align with our home purpose and our, do you understand? You know, our bank's purpose. And then when they look at it, you go through that process and then they say, I approve it. The same thing with the bank of heaven. You can't go to heaven and say, God, you know, I need you to fund this when it's not in his plans for you. You are going to have to get it by yourself through another means. You get it? So the first thing when you go to heaven, you know, to the heavenly account to access things, is first of all ensure that it is in his will for you. That's what 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17 says. This is the confidence, 1 John 5:17 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will,
First John 5:20, 5:21, 5:17, 5:21. It's somewhere around that place. First John chapter 5, verse 11. No, no, it's not 11.
Hallelujah. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that, if we know that He hears us, then we know we have whatsoever we have desired of Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. So first, what? First John chapter 5 and verse 14. Thank you.
Verse 14.
So this is the confidence. Now, this is the confidence that we have. Someone say confidence. That we have in Him. That if we ask anything. Someone say anything. But the key is that it must be according to what? His will. It must be according to His will. It must be according to what His will is, what some things He wants to accomplish on the earth. Do you get it? The Bible says, thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. So in other words, the first thing is, does this thing align with the agenda of God on the earth? Does it align with His purpose? One of the agenda of God is that He wants you to be clothed. He wants you to be, to have a house. He wants you to take care of your children. He wants you to be able to become a distributor, to help other people, to help the poor. Amen. And then there are specific assignments that God will tell you and say, I want you to do this thing right now. If He is the one that spoke to you, then the fund for it is in His account. God is not going to tell you to do something that He's not willing to fund. God always builds His wills and pays His bills. He pays His bills. Amen. Do you get it? So the first thing you need to ascertain is that this is according to His plan. If it's according to His plan, then it's accessible to you. Amen. In other words, you have a legal claim and a right to it. In other words, you have ownership rights. Somebody say ownership rights. Say, I have ownership rights. Do you get that? So I want to let you know that you are owners of so many things by inheritance. The Bible says we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. The Bible says we are heirs of Abraham. We have Abraham's blessing. We have Abraham's blessing and Abraham's promise. We have Abraham's promise because we are Abraham's child. And Abraham's promise was that he will be the heir of the world. So you are rich. Look at your neighbor and say, you are rich. No, I mean it. Let me preach it. You know, tell them, say, you are rich. Say, don't let anybody say you are poor. You were poor until you met Jesus. But when you met Jesus, you became rich. I don't hear anybody helping me to preach it. Say, when you met Jesus, you became rich. You became abundantly supplied. Because He made His grace available to you. So you own it right now. Say, hello, rich guy. Amen. Don't let anybody call you poor. Amen. You know, you are not poor. Amen. You are rich. You are not the poor trying to be rich. Do you get it? You are the rich trying to access your wealth. Do you get what I'm saying? If you have some money in some account, right? You still have to sign some things to get it, right? While you're on the way to the bank, you might not have any money on you. Do you get what I'm saying? But nobody can call you poor. Did you get it? Because you have it there. You only need to sign things and all that, access it, you know, and all that. And then you have your money. Amen. If you lost your card, your debit card or whatever, and you need to pay something, you know, and then, oh, I can't find my card and all that. You know, the person can look at you and say, look at this poor guy. But you're not poor because you got the money. Amen. So the fact that you're walking around right now, you've not accessed your heavenly account, doesn't mean you are poor. It just means that you have not accessed it. Did you get what I'm saying? How many of you know that Jesus Christ did not have a happy account? The only amount of money He kept on hand is enough for Judas to steal a little bit out of. And what? To use to bless the poor. But when Jesus Christ needed anything, He just looks to that account and says, withdraw boats, and boat comes up. And then, you know, Jesus had a boat, amen. Just joking, He used boats, amen. You know, and then when it's time to use the upper room, do you get it? To meet with His disciples, what did He do? Go get it, right? Withdraw it from the account. He wanted to ride on a colt. He said, go and get a colt that nobody has ever used, brand new, amen. He said, let me ride on this one. And then he said, go meet them and say, the Lord had need of it. And then when the Lord had need of it, yeah. So Jesus withdrew. Now one day he needed to pay his taxes too. They told him, they said, you've not paid tax. And Peter has not paid tax. And Peter was probably pointing at him and said, he's the one, you know, I left my fishing job. since I left my fishing job, I've been following this guy. You know, so Jesus said, all right, you know, Peter, that fishing, go back and do some fishing. But this time around, go fish. The first fish that comes out, you'll find gold in the mouth. Amen. You'll find gold. And then go take that gold, go use it to pay my tax and yours, and then use the rest. And Peter went and, you know, did it. And they opened the mouth of the fish and there was gold there. Amen. Listen, when you are operating with the heavenly account, God can put money inside the mouth of a dog for you. Amen. Are you listening to me? You get what I'm saying? With the heavenly account, it can come from anywhere. You understand? I've seen supply come from what? Some strange places. You understand? He can put it, if it takes a bread to bring it to your house, he will bring it. Amen. If it takes the least expected means, and God delights in using that. He wanted to bless Elijah, he used a widow. You know, he delights in doing that. Jesus Christ was so much in touch with that heavenly account that it doesn't matter where he is. He knew that he will come. Whether his fish is going to use, whether his, you know, fishes, you know, not just one fish. You know, one time he used Peter's boat. He used Peter's boat. And he said, let me use your boat. And Peter said, yeah, okay, use it. You see, when you want to enter into some of the greatest blessings of God, he first of all asks for something that is precious to you. Amen. He asks for something precious to you. And if you give it, you discover that the greatest end of your life will be met. You know, you have somebody change testimony that I got a job. And I remember when we were doing the building, I told him, I said, once you complete this thing, the job is going to show up for you. He didn't, he just called him. You know, and that's it. He's into it. And other things, you know, that are happening. So sometimes God will ask you for your skills. He will ask you for things. Do you get what I'm saying? When he finishes using it, they said when he finished preaching with the boat, he now told Peter, okay, all right, cast your net. You cast your net now. And then he said, Peter said, you know what? I've been fishing all night and I didn't catch anything. Peter was telling him history, you know, history. You know what? You don't know what has happened to me for the past 10 years. I have. You know, everything that I've tried, it had not worked. You know, I went to this job. They said no. I put my resume out. They said no. I started a business. It did not rise. I did everything. And, you know, you're now telling me to go and do exactly what I've done before. You're telling me to go and do exactly what I've done before. But Jesus said, but Peter said, you know what? Nevertheless, he said, I have toiled all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Jesus said, let down the nets, plural. He said, I will let down the net, singular. So, you know, the guy still had some doubts, amen. Do you get it? He still had some doubts. You know, well, at least he took a step of faith. So he let down a rotting net. So by the time the fishes came, the net broke. Do you understand what I'm saying? He just let it out, you know, and then the net broke. He said, what? He said, you know, depart from me, I'm a sinner. He told Jesus, depart from me, I'm a sinner. He said, he had to call his friends, his partners, to help him to, you know, to enclose the harvest that he got. Do you get what I'm saying? What did Jesus do? Jesus just tapped into the heavenly account on behalf of Peter. He said, Peter has sold into this heavenly account by giving his boat. Then Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, now open up the heavenly account for him and call the fishes to start coming. I tell you, when you start living with the consciousness of the heavenly accounts, resources will come to you from where you don't even know. Are you listening to me? It will come to you from all around when you start living in the consciousness and understanding of the fact that there's a heavenly account that belongs to you. And then you start taking care of that account like you take care of any other account. The Bible tells us the simple way that this account gets open to us constantly. He said it in Malachi 3:10. People don't like to hear it, but you got to hear the truth. The way the heavenly account remains open unto you in Malachi 3:10 is that bring all the tithe into the storehouse that they may meet in my house and prove me if I will not leave the windows of heaven open. Did you get what I'm saying? The windows being open is meant from being of accessing it. Do you get what I'm saying? But how can you access what is closed? You understand? So what happens is that it opens it up for you. And then so whenever there's a need, then you can now access it part time. Do you get what I'm saying? If I will not open, and then in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12, you know, it said the Lord will open unto you. Everybody, let's look at it. Deuteronomy 28 verse 12 says, the Lord will open unto you his good treasure. The heavens to give rain to your land in due season. It will bless all the works of your hand. You will lend unto many nations. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I will lend unto many nations. And you will not have to borrow. Now this one says you shall not borrow. Translation says you will not need to borrow. You will not need to borrow. In other words, the heavenly account is open. Amen. The heavenly thing is open. And so it's coming to you constantly. Why do you need to borrow? Because you have more than enough to even give to Peter, who has been failing in his boat business. Hallelujah. So why do you need to borrow? Do you get it? Say, so you have more than enough.
And you will not need to borrow. Because you will begin to bless the works of your hand and all that. So this is a different economy. Different from what you hear, what you read about, what the word says. This is an alternative system, which is called the system of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we access riches that have already been deposited for us there. Amen. We can choose as much as what we want to access. You can decide by ignorance to access little. You can decide, some people make a choice to access just a little because they feel that, you know, it's going to affect them and all that. But you cannot choose, you can choose to access more. But most importantly, they only release it in heaven when it is in accordance with the purpose and the plan that is revealed in the will of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Let me begin to round up now. So possession, this thing called possession, is the process through which we access what has been deposited into our accounts. Taking possession is the process, is that process through which you access what already belongs to you. You have ownership of it, but it doesn't mean that it's benefiting you. To possess means to take occupation. It means to begin to use. Hallelujah. It means to enter into, to make it yours in usability. You know, like now, when you've taken possession of something that's been given to you, now you can start using it, even though you owned it before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is the first thing you need to do to take possession? The first thing you need to do, I'm going to run through it and then I will continue it next week. The first thing you need to do, I mean, just a few things you need to do, but let me give you the first one. The first one, everybody write it down, say, see it. Write it down, say, see it. See it, write it, see. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 1 that we read, it says, see, I've given you the land. If you don't see, if you don't know what he has given you, then you cannot access it. You know, you cannot access it if you don't know. I want everyone in this place to be able to know what belongs to them in this season. See it. Everybody say, see it. Say, see it. How do you get to see what belongs to you? How do you get to see what belongs to you? There are two aspects of seeing that I have here. Two aspects. I think I will stop with seeing today. You know, the two aspects of seeing. Actually, I have three aspects of seeing. The first one is see it in the word. Everybody say after me, say, see it in the word. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 20 and verse 32. See it in the word. Acts 20 and verse 32. Paul says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Somebody say, the word of God is able. Say, the word of God's grace. The word is of God's grace. That grace that he was talking about, that Jesus made available, that word communicates that grace. That word tells you what riches are available to you at Christ's expense. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. So the word of God tells you what is available to you in grace. That's why it's called the word of his grace. The word of his grace. And through the word of his grace, you are able to access the inheritance that belongs to you. Among all the ones who are sanctified, among all the believers. So it's available to all of us by ownership. But to take possession of it, you have to find it. You have to see it in the word. Someone say, I got to see it in the word. You know, sometimes I'm studying the word and I see something and I say, wow, I've not seen this before. But the moment I see it, it belongs to me. In the book of Deuteronomy 29:29, I think. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to what? To God. See if I got it. Yes. The secret things belong to what? And the things which are what? Revealed are what? And to what? In other words, if it is still secret, it's still in the possession of God. Do you get it? If it is still a secret, it's still in God's possession. It's not yet yours. It's not yet in your possession, even though it might belong to you. It is when it becomes revealed, then that when it becomes yours, and it becomes that of your children. And you need to learn it, that whatever battle that you win it not just for yourself, but for those who are coming after you.
You understand? Because it becomes an inheritance for them. Whatever battle you lose it not just for them, you lose it for those who are coming after you. So some of you need to make up your mind that my children are not going to find the same battle that I fought. Are you listening? Because the secret things, that's why I want to access as much secret from heaven so that I can use it and I can pass it to my children. Because if I can get it, it becomes an inheritance for them. Hallelujah. But these secrets are revealed in the word of God. They are revealed in God's word. They are not revealed to the casual observers. They are not revealed to those who do just 2 minutes quiet time. They are not revealed to those who just spend a few minutes on the train reading the word. They are revealed to those who go for it and search for them like it's treasure. Those who make wisdom their friends. Those who arrange their schedule to make sure that God's word comes first. And when you go in there, the Bible says the secret of God belongs to those who fear Him. The secret of the Lord belongs to those who fear Him. Those who honor Him. Those who reverence Him, those who go, those who put Him, make Him a priority. Then He begins to reveal those secrets to you. He tells you the secret of your future, the secret of finances, the secret of your purpose, the secret of your marriage, the secret of your children, the secret things that you don't know about yourself. He starts to show you. But listen, the moment you see it, the moment it becomes revealed to you, it becomes yours. Nobody can take it away from you anymore. And you can pass it on to other people, your spiritual children and your physical children. The Bible says, you know, when Martha was so busy doing so many things, Jesus was in the house. Was in the house of Martha and Mary. And Martha was so busy. Gotta do this. Gotta serve the master. The master is here. I gotta cook. I look at Peter. Peter is always hungry. You know, all those guys. So she was, the Bible says she was cumbered about with so many things. Running from here to here. I got to do this. Oh, school, work, my children, my wife, my husband, my parents, my grandparents, my other friends, all the people that are writing me. They need some money from Nigeria or somewhere. My landlord, my credit card company. I gotta do this. Please find that verse for me in the book of John. She said she was cumbered about with so many things. She was worried. But they said Mary was sitting down at the feet of the master, sitting down there, listening to him teach, listening to the master teaching. Now, Martha, who is so busy, came out and came to meet Mary. The Bible says she was hungry. And she told Mary, she said, why are you just sitting down there, just listening to the master? Don't you know that we need to serve the master and they need to eat some food? Don't you know that we need to do others and do others and do others and do others and do others? Come on, leave that place right now. I know your elder sister. Come on, stand up. Come on, join me in the kitchen and serve the master. Look at what the master said. Go down. Martha is a welcoming woman. Martha's are very good. They are good in church. They are good at home. They are good in everything. But she was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, Lord, you don't care that my sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to come to help me. Look at what the master said. That's where we end today. And Jesus answered and said, Martha. Martha. You see, in the Hebrew, when they call you twice, amen, it means something. When they call you three times, it means when Jesus said, Peter, love has thou me. It's a serious matter. Amen. Don't let the Lord call you three times, just once. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Many legitimate things. Worried and troubled about it. Listen, please don't forget it. Anytime you come worried and troubled about things, it's only a symptom of the fact that you have left the presence of God. That's it. You have left the presence of God. But one thing, everybody say one thing. Everybody say one thing. I love Jesus. Simplifies me. Say one thing is needed. Everybody say one thing. One thing is needed. Who can tell me what that one thing is? From what we read in Deuteronomy. You know what that one thing is? From what we read in Deuteronomy 29:29. What is that one thing? What is that one thing? The secret things belong to what? What is the one thing? Someone say revelation. Someone say the divine revelation that comes from the feet of the master is what is needed for your business, for your family, for everything. It is just a word from the Lord. One word from God can change your life forever. One word from God can open you into a new season. One word from God can change everything you are running around trying to solve, trying to do all that. One word can change it. Amen. Something that nobody can change, no bank can change, no anybody can change. A word from God can change it and turn it around. But there's a way you take that one thing. It is this. Say, Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. The secret thing belongs to the Lord, but when they become ours, when they are revealed, they become what? Ours. Nobody can take it away from you any longer. It belongs to you and to your children. But the way you access it is by being in His presence and receiving the revelation of the moment. What are we supposed to focus on as a family, dear Lord? This issue that is constantly coming up, I don't know what to do about it, but Lord, what is your word about it? What are you saying? When you open the Bible, you say you have given us an inheritance. Lord, which particular one? Where is it? Where is it located? Show me what it is. Show me where. And as we begin to read the word, it starts to say, you know what? This is it. This is that. That is that. So you first of all see it revealed in the world. And then the second part of seeing is you see. There are some things that are physically manifest. As you are going about, if you have spent time with God, He will show you. See that property over there? That's the next thing I want to give to you. See that job there? That's going to be your next job. You see that business there? That's the next thing. See that woman there? That's your next wife. No, not next. That's your wife. That one has gone next. That's your wife. You see that man walking over there? That's what? That's your husband. Amen. That's so funny. So it begins to show you. It begins to show you that this is it. That's the next thing I want you to move into. That's the next place I want you to step into. That's that. And listen, when you are led by God into it, then you can be assured that He's going to be with you when you are going through it. Yeah, hallelujah. Because He leads you to still waters. He leads you into green pastures. Hallelujah. So you see it in the word, then you begin to see it in the physical. Amen. And then the third part of saying it, which I will expatiate more next week, is to actually go into it. If it's something that is available physically, go into it and experience it, even though you have not yet taken possession. So let's say you have a property and all that. Go there, schedule an appointment. Take a test drive of the car. Amen. Nobody's going to ask you for anyone if you take a test drive. Amen. Just walk there. Make sure you walk there confidently. Dress well. Say, I want that thing. I'm going to do a test drive. Drive it around. Drive it well. And feel it. Amen. Go to the place where that job that you want is. Go around the place. You know? Sit around if you can enter the place. Or experience it online. Just, in other words, do it. Moses had to send spies into the land to go and see whether it is exactly, you know, the grapes taste exactly like God told us that He tasted. God said it's a land flowing with milk and honey. So go there, see. And they went there, they said, yes, we saw it. And the food, the good, the grapes is exactly like the Lord spoke to us. The only thing is that there are giants in the land. So you got to watch, you know, even when you are seeing, you're going to see some giants. But you need to see with the spirit of faith that even though there are giants in the place that you want to possess, you are well able to overcome it. Because you have the spirit of Joshua, the spirit of faith upon you, and there's nothing that can stop you. Come on, rise up on your feet, everybody. Hallelujah.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.